Hello everyone and welcome to the Smashy Business Show. Today is Tuesday, 12th of November and I'm here with my co-host, Worth Badawi. How are you, Worth?
I'm good.
That's
good
your
morning,
full name, right?
Everyone.
I pronounced it correctly?
It's Worth Ahmed.
Worth Ahmed. But I remember Worth Badawi because it's usually that name
it's
that
okay.
you use.
Yeah.
But, so how are you?
Really exciting morning today. I'm with Majid. Yo, we got some crazy topics for you guys today.
So we have a lot of discussion topics. So let's jump into it directly. But let's start with one of the events that's taking place. Season for events, so there's always something big happening. One of the events that caught our eye was Cityscape Global, whose Saudi iteration is taking place in Saudi Arabia, in Riyadh. And it started yesterday. And on the day one, around 180 billion Saudi Riyal worth of announcements and agreements were made. That's only just day one. Mm-hmm. And according to a post on X, the National Housing Company, which is the state-owned developer, they signed 31 agreements with 23 firms on day one. Day two is happening today, so we'll see obviously more announcements and more agreements. But the number that is being floated is 180 billion Saudi riyals worth of agreements on just day one. So it's such a big real estate market there is in Saudi Arabia.
Real estate, it's really important
nowadays.
We see
in Dubai it's very big, right?
Of course, it's really big. And I think it's it really does drive the market, but with real estate, I always think about how the market is so oversaturated.
Yeah.
Like, of course, it's pretty successful, but to actually become successful in the real estate market, I believe you have to become a shark.
Yeah. But obviously, the big developers are always there. And the good thing about Cityscape is that it's a place where deals happen. It's not a place where project launches are there. So obviously, there's always project launches. Some companies will always bring their miniature-styled, we're launching this, we're launching that. But it's a deal-making event. What I've heard and read about Cityscape, I've been linked somewhat to it for the past 2-3 years. So I know Cityscape a lot. So deal-making and, most importantly, money coming into the sector. The interesting number that I was reading about the Saudi real estate market is funny that they have nearly a demand for, let me correct the number. So Saudi Arabia currently wants to achieve a 70% home ownership rate. In Saudi Arabia. So they want everyone to own a home, not rent a home.
But you know, Majid, I believe the reason for this is also, I remember we did a publication on how it was found that a lot of Saudi Arabians invested into homes in England, I believe it was. They invested into homes in Europe instead of in Saudi Arabia. And I believe that now we're going to see a shift in that because they're actually going to have these projects coming in. Like, it's not just going to be a plan anymore. They're going to be constructed. They're going to be built. And Saudis can invest into their own real estate market.
And what I see is we talked a lot about the number, according to a report, that nearly 6,700 millionaires are moving to Dubai. So when we talked about Dubai real estate, we always connected that number to the Dubai real estate that, oh, so many people will come, they will need housing, then they will obviously start businesses or work, so they'll bring in more people, so they'll need more houses. So that's one of the reason for the boom in Dubai. Most probably that same reason can be used in Saudi Arabia because obviously Saudi Vision 2030, because of that, every industry is becoming bigger. So you need people to run the industry and then you need houses too.
And because this specific industry is becoming so big, people really need to stand out. Yesterday, we did a story about this company called Strata UAE.
Yeah.
They're a real estate brokerage company in Dubai specifically. Yeah. And what they're doing is that they're leveraging YouTube documentaries as like a marketing tactic to get people to, to get people to obtain their services.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think it's working.
Yeah.
Because when you look at their YouTube account, they're really funny. They're really entertaining.
I saw, after we did the story, I went home in the evening. I was just, I don't know why I had so much time. And I started looking at the channel. It's really interesting the way they present it. It's like a reality TV show, but for a real estate firm. So yeah, that was one of the interesting things. Another thing that I came across regarding the Cityscape event and Saudi Arabian market, that the market for houses is very big. But now with so much development happening, Riyadh is, you go to Riyadh and you'll see that everything is, someone is building something everywhere. NEOM project, the biggest project that we've seen in Saudi Arabia, that needs a lot of people, and then people will need houses. So a lot of construction is happening, not only for houses, for other stuff as well. Industrial zones, this, that. So again, coming back to one of the stories we did in the morning. So PIF-backed real estate developer Roshan, they've rebranded into Roshan Group. So Roshan was mainly dealing with real estate in housing. They were only building houses for people. But now they want to build a lot of stuff. They want to build industrial zones, if I remember correctly. They want to build fitness centers. They want to build offices, retail outlets. So this shows that there is market for not only commercial, like residential real estate, but commercial real estate as well. So Saudi Arabia is putting in a lot of money, and this event coming at this time happens every year, obviously, but 180 billion Saudi riyals of deals happening on day one. Obviously, we'll keep counting the deals every day, and we'll get a full number at the end of the event, which happens on 14th. So let's see what this event gives us in terms of business and numbers that are happening. One of the guys I saw, I remember, I saw an Instagram post. Let me find it quickly so I can tell you the name. He's also there, and he's also like his comment, I remember, his Instagram caption was Kevin O'Leary. So Kevin O'Leary, known as Mr. Wonderful. I can't show you the picture. I can show you the picture like this. Kevin O'Leary is here at Cityscape. And the interesting thing that he said in his caption was, what is the hottest sector of investment and development in regards to real estate? And he said AI data centers. Not commercial property, not residential. He's not saying build houses or build this or retail outlets or shopping malls. He's saying build AI data centers. And we've seen over the past few weeks, last 2 or 3 weeks.
That's foreshadowing a lot.
Yeah, that everyone is going into data centers. Even ADIPEC, which ended last week, everyone was talking about data centers, the energy needs. It's an energy conference, so they were mostly talking about the energy requirement to run data centers, because all the AI that you see, ChatGPT, OpenAI, the whole company, then you go to all other big AI backed startups or good companies even, all of them need data centers. And data centers are the new biggest real estate asset that you can own. So yeah, it's happening. The world is changing. The real estate industry is changing. So if you are investing next, try to, if you believe in Kevin O'Leary's words, AI data centers are the next thing that you should own. Obviously, energy needs, you have to somehow get up with it. Renewable, I read somewhere that renewable energy doesn't cater completely to it. Data centers will need that carbon and oil backed energy. So yeah, it's interesting. Everything is connected. So and just giving you an idea of what's happening here.
An even more interesting topic that we have today is that the Talabat IPO is finally coming. Delivery Hero, the parent company of Talabat, is listing 15% of Talabat, which is essentially equivalent to 3.49 billion shares of the company. And a lot of insiders are predicting that this could generate over $1 billion. Now, when I'm taking a look at this Talabat IPO, I'm thinking about the Lulu IPO that we just recently had, and it actually had the largest IPO in the UAE.
This
I believe
year.
The amount that was raised
around $1.8 billion they raised, and they were targeting for that. The idea was to raise around $1.7 to $2 billion, and they nearly reached the target. Again, oversubscribed IPO, everyone wanted a piece of it. They raised the stake from 25% to 30%. But the question here is, we were having a discussion on the group. So why is Talabat not going to ADX? Because if you see capital-wise and market-wise, ADX is bigger than DFM. So that raises the question that why did Talabat choose Dubai, the DFM? And what came to my mind was that there's a lot of competition on ADX. There's a lot of big companies which are on ADX.
Mm.
So I guess Talabat, the parent company, Delivery Hero, they wanted how can I phrase it correctly? They wanted to be the standout kid, the topper in the class.
Mm.
So that is why they're going to DFM. Because DFM is not very big as compared, like smaller compared to the Saudi Tadawul market, the main market, and the ADX.
Mm.
So I guess they just want to be the brightest, top, biggest kid on some market.
But
that is why they chose
that,
Dubai.
You know, Majid, like with Talabat's IPO, I really have a good feeling about this one.
Everyone
I
has
do.
A good feeling about Talabat
I
because
do.
It's a household name. That's the good part about Talabat, that it's a household name. You don't need to explain it to anyone. You tell anyone, oh, Talabat, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, the delivery service. So, yeah, some more details. CEO Tomaso Rodriguez, there was a whole prospectus that was published. So CEO Tomaso Rodriguez explained in it that the focus would be on growing within current markets. So the 1 billion that they're trying to get, they're trying to grow in the current markets, which is 8 markets.
Mm.
So they're right now operating in UAE, Oman, Qatar, Bahrain, Jordan, Iraq, and Egypt. So that's the countries that they're working in.
It's a big expansion.
Yeah. And serving over 6 million active customers. This was the part of the prospective.
Mm.
So 6 million active customers, 8 countries, 8 markets that they are already in. So his idea is that we will consolidate ourselves in these 8 markets.
Mm.
Usually it's expansion or making the service better. So they're focusing on making the service better through this 1 billion IPO. Most probably 1 billion. We'll see how much
you
they
think
raise.
The IPO will go up to that much?
It can. There is a very big potential. And the interesting thing is, since day one that we reported that Talabat is going for an IPO, like nearly one and a half months ago, every week or every 2 weeks, we see Talabat in the news, their IPO in the news. Their hiring banks becomes news. They also had a whole presentation. I remember I saw it, a whole presentation for investors. So showing the numbers that, oh, Talabat is this, Talabat is this. Then Delivery Hero, they also published their numbers. They showed that they're growing in their home market in Germany. So they're trying to portray it as positive, the company, Delivery Hero, and Talabat in as much positive light as they can.
I think it already has a positive light. And you know, one of the most famous IPOs that have ever occurred, it was in 2004, August 19, which is my birthday, by the way. Imagine, that's when I was born.
Oh.
When the Google IPO occurred.
Oh, yeah.
August 19, 2004, there was the Google IPO. And at the time, the company was only, I believe, 6 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, they managed to make $23 billion from it.
Yeah.
Do you think that Talabat will be able to get...
Not $23 billion. Did see Google, even before the advent of this internet, that we see 5G technology, the very fast internet.
Yeah.
You can download gigabytes of whatever you want, videos, you can stream everything. Even then, Google was big. There is a case going on, antitrust lawsuit for Google in the US. Antitrust law is very easy. Easily phrasing it, it helps to create competition in the market. It doesn't allow monopoly for one company. So Google, in search database, they have a monopoly. I don't think you'll go to Bing. You always say Google it. You don't say Bing it or like use Yahoo search it. You never say that. You always say Google it.
Mm.
So Google is facing an antitrust law suit against them in the US. So I would say Google was big enough at that point.
Mm.
Google wasn't a small fish in the pond that just went for an IPO.
But you
they could have
really
raised this much.
Now for these IPOs that have come up, they weren't in an auction, right? They weren't in an auction. You told me that like you subscribe and then they review it. The Google one was in an auction.
It was just like, oh, some people, they already said that.
Yeah, it was in an auction.
Yeah.
So I think...
It can happen.
I think the fact that it was in an auction, and obviously if you bet you see somebody bet more, you're going to get bet more. So I think that's what led to it achieving such a large amount.
See, big companies which have potential, there's always two kinds of investors in any IPO. The major two kinds, there's like subdivisions also, but it's the institutional investors and the individual investors, which we also, I like to call them day traders, obviously. So institutional investors, if they've already told you that, oh, if you're floating an IPO, I will buy 10% after the 15%. So it's a very clear-cut, easy money for you. And they always buy it at a good price. They don't buy it at a low price. They don't buy it at a very high price. But it's a very safe investment if you're going for an IPO. For example, Talabat, if they go for 15% and somebody comes up and they're like, okay, we'll buy the 10% for this amount.
It can go and up.
So they'll be like, okay, it's easy to get 10% from one big institutional investor, which we know, which we have an idea, they're stable and everything. So they will give it to them. Lulu is a case study in this very recent case study. 25% was floated. Everyone was interested. Then one company came and they were like, okay, we didn't get like anything from this auction part, like the price range part. We couldn't be a part of bookkeeping. We just want to buy out 5% flat. So they bought 5%. That is why the IPO increased from 25 to 30%. One company came and they bought those 5% shares. So with Google, again, with very big companies, it's very normal that some big investor will jump in, institutional investor, and they will just say, okay, we'll buy the 15% out of whatever you're giving. So this happens, but it's a good idea. Talabat, some dates for you. Subscription opens on November 19th. The bookkeeping process, basically, the banks that are dealing with the subscription are Emirates NBD, JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, and the subscription period will start from November 19, will end on November 28, and then trading is supposed to begin on December 10. This is part of the prospectus. Sometimes it happens one or two days are in front, but this is like the plan that we have right now on paper from Talabat. November 19 to 28, that's like 10 days, 9 to 10 days of subscription period. And then December 10th, trading will start on DFM. Let's see how it goes. I have good hopes that they might raise 1.1 to 1.2 billion.
I think they're going to get a local victory for this one. But much more than that, Majid, I feel that we're always talking about, you know, investing into IPOs. You know, I was thinking about this when I woke up today. The best possible thing that you can do in this world is invest in your own self. And when I say invest in your own self, when I use that term invest, I don't necessarily mean, you know, invest skills into yourself. I mean invest energy into yourself, like believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're always discussing these numbers, we're always discussing these projects, but you know, behind every single business, behind every single business story in general, there comes that energy, that investing in yourself. Because, you know, I've noticed in the show for a while, we've been saying you have to be a realist. But I think everything, like it's
I've been saying that be a realist. I'm more of a business-minded guy, so yeah, reality is more important for me.
I would not say that it's more of lack there of me not having a business mind, but much more of you need to invest yourself. Because what I really noticed is that when you have this energy to yourself, when you have this charisma to yourself, truly anything can happen for you.
Yeah.
Because I know extremely smart people in my life. Like I remember yesterday, I was speaking to a family friend, and Majid, they are one of the smartest people I ever know. Every topic in the world, whether it's history, whether it's business, whether it's sociology, they know it. You know those people who just absolutely know everything? And they're actually pretty good with AI and graphic design. Nice. But they have this one, they were telling me, they were like, you know, by the way, I have all these ideas in my brain, but for some reason, when I start speaking to people, I can't say them. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, he went like, right, I'm telling you all of this right now. It took me like a good 3 to 4 months to be able to talk to you like that. Yeah. And in that moment, what I told him was that you need to start investing into your energy more. You need to start caring about your energy more. You need to start, you know, seeing the people that you're around. You need to start interacting with people more.
Yeah.
So investing in yourself, it's not just about, you know, necessarily investing into money, like how we always discuss, but investing your energy.
Yeah.
You know, like look at your attitude. When you have, I really believe in this, Majid, when you have a good, positive attitude, everything can go well for you. Yeah. Because I truly believe in the world will try to put you down. So you got to try and lift yourself up. You do. Because, of course, things will go wrong. Look, yeah. I am positive. But I'm, you know, I don't deny that things can go left. They can go left. But you have to, you always have to have a positive attitude in life. Because that positive attitude, not only will you take yourself far, but other people will see it in you. And that's an attitude that they will want to invest in.
I was watching a video out of your whole talk. There's this one point that go out, talk to people. I was watching one video yesterday. And again, those startup videos, like old founders saying something very important. And one of the founders was like, some people think that they'll start a startup and just it will go boom. But some people actually got rich or became famous because they were friends with a good person who had an idea. So it's like, just don't think about ideas only that, oh, I will do
it. Exactly.
Always go and try to talk to people. Maybe you find someone who's thinking about an idea and you can contribute to it. So he gave examples of Google founders, Larry Page and Sergey Brin. And he was like, Sergey Brin told me very clearly that I didn't have any ideas of my own. Larry Page had an idea and I went to him and I talked to him and he was the shy kid. I was the more talkative one. And I went and I talked to him and we came up with Google. He also gave an example of Facebook. That Mark Zuckerberg, if you've seen the movie Social Network, Mark Zuckerberg didn't have like the initial $8,000-$10,000 that he needed for the servers to like host Facebook, now that we see it. But in the initial stages, he didn't have that kind of money. And one of his friends, I remember, I don't remember the name, founders of Facebook. So that guy, basically the CFO at that point, Eduardo Severin. So he gave him the 8 to 10K and he was the guy who was dealing with initially, on the initial stages, the business dealings. He was the CFO. And later when he like got nearly something in billions just out of that 2 or 3% that he still owns in Facebook. So he's like, yeah, just go out. Don't be shy. If you're shy and introvert and you're a genius, that's fine. But if you know that you're not a genius, you have to be like introspective. You have to know that where you stand. If you're a good talker, go find people who are shy and geniuses and good at making a product but not marketing it. So be that person. So that was a very good idea that, yeah, go out, find people who have good ideas and in their environment, help them grow and you grow. And yeah, it's a team effort, to be honest.
Like Majid, what Majid here is saying, it's so important because nowadays a lot of people underestimate the power of having a community. Like now, like you know what I noticed, Majid? And I find it so shocking because I'm Sudanese. And in Sudan, even if you're walking the street, you know, we all greet each other. We all go like, assalamu alaikum, and we keep walking. That's something that we just do. But here I notice, like, you know, I run around my community. I go on my runs. And when I'm running,
You running from?
What are you?
that's the best
that's
joke
really,
I could come
that's
up with.
That's a really good question. That's a really
what
good
are you
question.
Running from?
I'm one of those people. When I have an issue, I keep it running.
Yeah.
But point
so that's
is,
your, like, out, like, your...
It's my, to be honest with you, it's...
Way running, of staying grounded.
Yeah, right? Running, it's a relief for me. Because it's like when you're running, like it's like you're holding the energy, the adrenaline of the world with you. That's how I feel. But when I'm running, imagine I run every single day at the same time. I see the same people in my community. Some of them, I smile, they smile back. But some of them, I smile, they don't give you a smile, they don't wave. People are very disconnected from each other. And even, by the way, if you take a look at the mental health statistics in this century that we live in, they're horrible. They're completely horrible, which is very surprising considering the fact that, you know, we're all on the media, we're all communicating with each other.
But we're not.
We're not.
The human-to-human connection is missing.
Yes, we have all these streams of communications. Yeah. But it's not enough. It's not the same as human touch. It's not the same as speaking to people. And I just, community is so important. When you have a community, you completely change as a person.
We had this guest, the last guest we had.
Ronnie Hodge?
Yeah, Ronnie Hodge.
Yes.
He talked about startup community, that he's providing a community for the kids who want to become a part of startup. And talking about communities, we
Founders
have a very
Connect.
Big... Founders Connect.
He's a part of Founders Connect.
Yeah, and talking about communities, we have a very big Gulf community, which is called the GCC. So they are leading good trying to get a good segue into the next story. So GCC has beaten the global average of AI adoption, generative AI adoption mainly. So generative AI is more ChatGPT, DALL-E, all the video, audio, pictures, text generators, all the generative AIs. They've beaten the world average. World is has an adoption rate of 65%. Mm. The GCC countries have an adoption rate of 75%. So they're adopting generative AI more. And the survey was done by McKinsey. It's a new report that they published. And another important part of it was that they questioned a lot of people throughout the world about it. And in the GCC countries, which is UAE, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, all these countries, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, these countries, the people said, the companies, the employers, and the bosses, they said that for at least one function in their company, they've completely now relied on generative AI. So that's a good number, because adoption rate for generative AI is very important. I know it's bad for people who are doing the job, but we created videos. We do videos on Smashy Instagram, which are AI made, the voiceover, the graphics, the text, all of it comes through generative AI. We do a lot of other stuff using generative AI. The whole company, Augustus Media, we're very forward in this, that we try to use generative AI as much as possible to reduce the production time. Basically, it's more productivity. The thing that can happen in 3 hours using humans can be done in half an hour using generative AI. So yeah, GCC is doing good in this as well. Yeah, so smart move by GCC. There's some numbers I saw. $35 billion annually generative AI is contributing. No, sorry, could contribute to the GCC economy, just generative AI, and about 2.3% of the region's GDP. So $35 billion generative AI can contribute, and it's 2.3%. So just a big number coming from just generative AI, maybe investing in it, maybe using it. So yeah, that's one of the stories that happened. Apart from that, oh, we're running out of time. We always discuss the first story very long, right?
Yeah. And with that being said, thank you so much.
No, we have Lean Technologies.
Really?
We can talk about it. Producer, can we take 4 minutes? Yes, he says yes. So we can talk about Lean Technologies. So Saudi Arabia's Lean Technology has raised $67.5 million. You remember we talked about how Saudi Arabia's investors are looking inwards. They don't want to go outside and
reduced it. Yeah. I believe they reduced the amount to 20% from
20% 30%. And now there's this one big US investment firm, which is by the name General Catalyst. And they're very big in the world. But this is the first time they've invested in Saudi Arabia in Lean Technologies. So Lean Technologies is a very simple startup. Obviously, it's complicated because it's fintech, so financial and tech. But if you're like Tabby and you need payment solutions, like how will people pay me and all of that, Lean Technology provides that. So yeah, Lean Technology raised $67.5 million, Series B. And the biggest lead investor was General Catalyst. So this is the first time General Catalyst, a US firm, has come into Saudi Arabia and invested. So I think their idea of pulling back from the world is working. And I remember at FII, the governor of PIF, he said that we want the world to come to us now. We don't want to go to the world and splash money on their products. We want everyone to come here and invest our ecosystem.
Exactly.
So this is happening. This story was more important for me because of this angle, that a lot of companies, we always say, if you go to Crunchbase, if you go to what's the other name that I use? Sorry, I always forget. I just type the first two words and the link comes in. But PitchBook, if you see, the biggest funding rounds throughout the week, throughout months, they're in US startups, European startups, Canadian startups. But now I've seen that their lists, their top 10s, biggest rounds, have started including Middle Eastern startups. So I think of it as a trend that when I started following Crunchbase like 4 or 5 months ago, I never saw any local startups. And it was worrying for me. I was like, well, why? Because obviously I want some Dubai startup, some Middle Eastern startup to be there. But now they are coming in. So it's a good sign. I
think. Very good sign.
Yeah.
A very good sign.
If you have a startup right now idea, use the suggestions from Worth on channeling into your own energy. Investing in yourself. And go for it. It's the best time right now if you're in the Middle East.
It's the best time all the time.
But right now, it's the perfect time in the Middle East. There's so much help, support, again, community that is there which can support you in your idea. If you have a good enough idea, if it's a workable or a scalable idea, you have a very good support network in the Middle East right now. Just go for it. I don't think you'll get a better time than this. Quoting Sam Altman, OpenAI, again, one of the videos I saw and it stuck with me. Someone asked him recently that, what is the best education you can get right now? It's like, don't get education, go towards business. Go to people who are doing business, who are doing startups, who are starting startups. Go to them, talk to them, get your formal education to an extent, but don't rely on it. Rely on the knowledge of the startup founders and come up with your own idea.
I agree with you on that.
It's like, this is the best time ever in the last century. Exactly his words. Best time in the last century where entrepreneurship is at its peak and you get support from everyone and everything. So yeah, if you have an idea, go.
Thank you so much for watching. This is the Smashy Business Show, a part of Smashy Production under the Augustus Media Podcast Network. Do make sure to tune in tomorrow.
Bye-bye.